Well, our Wednesday night here, of course I have to say our Sunday also, our this thought pattern. We're not trained speakers, we're not trained mediums, we all work from our heart. And when we come here and share our thoughts, we're sharing our thoughts. But we're not trained speakers that if I say this, you're going to think that, and I say this, and you're going to think that. It's not that way at all, is it, Barbara? We all just talk from our hearts. But anyone that comes up here has proven to themselves that they're never alone, that they're always connected with God. God's the very energy within you. God is love, and the only energy that lasts forever. And our young man is going to share his thoughts with us tonight. Before I could get him to talk up here the first time, I had to almost twist his arm off. And then I had to ask his wife if she would get after him and make him get up here to talk. And she agreed. And so he's going to share his thoughts with us tonight. But again, not a trained speaker. He's talking about what has proven true for him in this life. And that's our David. Our David. Wonderful young man.
How's it going?
And I love him.
And I love you more. Thank you, Lisa. Mighty kind of you, Lisa. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for joining me tonight. And so, I had a gentleman approach me and pose this question not too long ago. So, have you found Jesus? To which I replied, well, I didn't know he was lost. And so this got me to thinking, well, what does that mean to find Jesus or to have found Jesus? Is it that you've let the Holy Spirit into your life, for that our lives shall be characterized by kindness, love, and godlike actions? So it occurred to me that God stories are merely God's random acts of kindness. I was recently at a speaking engagement, and in the introduction of the speaker, it included edification for his random acts of kindness that he would perform on a weekly basis. He could be in a line at Starbucks and would pronounce, I'm paying for all of these individuals' coffee beverages that are in front of me. And he could be in a restaurant where he would randomly choose and pay for the folks' dinner adjacent to him. So last Friday, as I was leaving the office, crossing the street, I saw Marv. Everyone calls me Sarge, is what he tells me. So now I don't know Sarge's story, but I make a point of checking up on him. See, Sarge is homeless and can usually be found across the street from the office building in which I work, sidewalk bound, on his chair, lounging or sleeping. And I would normally make a point of saying, what's up? So as I was leaving, I walked by him on that Friday afternoon. And told him to have a wonderful weekend. And he looks over at me and says, he proceeds to point to a Mini Cooper that's parked right there on the street and points out to the dent that's on that car and proceeds to tell me that the individual that's standing adjacent to it is the one that put the dent in that car and that the woman who's driving that Mini Cooper happened to walk into the office building in which I worked. And I thought to myself, here's this homeless individual who has not, and she has. Why should he care? How kind of him. Well, see, Sarge is certainly a, I don't know his story. I sure am curious about it and would love to learn his story, but he is a happy-go-lucky individual. Today, as I passed him on the streets, I said, where are you going? Well, I'm going to go to the CVS to pick up some medicine for my homeless partner. How kind of him. This reminds me also of a buddy who married a sister, or a daughter, I think it is, of the owner of Discount Store Tires, and learned of the acts of kindness he would perform normally without the knowledge of the recipients ever learning who did it. He would buy the Christmas gifts for an entire family and would randomly select someone who's come in for new tires to receive them at no cost. And so kindness starts at home, this one. As long as we are being kind to ourselves, we are coming from a place where we can demonstrate genuine kindness with others and be clear that kindness consists of more than just an attitude. James chapter 2, verse 15 says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep the warm and keep well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, you can have a kind attitude towards someone, but for you to be truly kind to them, you need to assist them and be of use to them. Kindness expresses itself in deeds. It all starts with one. One person to hold open that door. One person to write a thank you note to a teacher. One person to be a spark of kindness when another really needs it. Thus, kindness can be defined as love in action. Following the experiences of my adolescent years, this is most certainly a life lesson for me. Occasionally, I will open up Adele Tenning's book called God's Life. For those who don't know, Adele was an instrumental part of this church. She had a unique way of receiving messages, of which I don't remember. Perhaps Stanley remembers. And we are often told to open up the Bible only to find the passage before you. Serendipitously applies to what you may be experiencing in life at the moment. Well, this is true of other books as well. And seeking some inspirational reading, I reached for Adele's book, opened it, and in doing so before me were the 8 stages of perfection given to Adele by the Christ Spirit. These are the stages that we are all to experience. The life lessons that we encounter shall evolve around the stage of perfection we are currently working on. And as we move through the many expressions of our single life, in no particular order, that is, furthermore, the stages are based on the astrological signs, and being the Scorpio that I am, apparently I chose for this life's expression to work on number 6, kindness, to think and act kindly towards others and everyone and animals and all of nature. And you Aries are also up against this lesson too. And on that same day that I was at that aforementioned speaking engagement where this individual was edified for his random acts of kindness, in the midst of a marathon morning of meetings, I managed to escape by 1:30 p.m. and headed for Sushi Raw, only to discover that the restaurant had closed down, closed for business. And so I went to my next choice, Thai. Thai time. And since the lunch hour was over with, there was plenty of seating, and I took note that there were at least 2 other individuals in the restaurant. And shortly after my arrival, a woman walks in and sits at the table adjacent to mine. And after approximately 45 minutes enjoying and savoring that curry dish of mine, the server hands me my check as well as the woman's check. And so finally, I decide it's time for payment. And I reach for my wallet. Did I put it over here? Oh, no. I don't have my wallet. And I'm thinking to myself, am I going to pay for this? Oh, crap. And so Right then, the server, as she's walking by, I reach out to her, I signal her, and ask her, as I'm holding up my keys, "I don't have my wallet. I left it at the office. Here are my keys. I will walk back to the office and get my wallet and pay for it. Come back." And just out of nowhere, someone says, "I'll pay for it." Reaching out with her credit card and her check, the waitress, the server, and I look at each other and looked at her, and, "Really?" And so she takes her credit card, and I sit down, gather my stuff, and walk out. And as I'm walking out, I say to her, "Blessings to you for doing that. Thank you very much." And she looks at me, "Have a nice day." And really, she didn't really need, wasn't asking for anything in return. And probably the most disappointing thing about that whole affair was that I'll never get to know how that's going to come back heaped up and running over for her. And so I just experienced being the recipient of a random act of kindness. Weird. I've never experienced that. So every day is a love story. Johnny Carson was quoted as saying, "Thanksgiving is an emotional time. People travel for thousands of miles to be with people they see only once a year, only to discover. Even once a year is too often." And as we are quickly approaching the holiday season, the time of fun and frolic, Christmas parties, friends, family reunions, love is in the air and in abundance during the season. It's also an excuse for being jolly and festive. However, the saying goes, disappointment is inevitable, misery is an optional. And for some, this is the season that heightens the feelings of loneliness and despair, a lack of love for themselves, and consequently the lack of ability to have love for others. Folks, these are opportunities of healing by those of us who feel the love, who know what it means to have blessings of prayer, healing, and the hand of God, and can reach out with an unconditional gift of love to those emotionally in need. Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness." He tells us that love is the most excellent of all gifts and fruits of Spirit. Without the love, the rest of them become meaningless. The Holy Spirit makes this point at the beginning of Corinthians chapter 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." We are told that love is patient, love is kind, love is the most powerful healing force in the universe. And so I was recently stunned and gravely disappointed by what I saw driving down the freeway. A young man driving a vehicle painted a matte black. It was disturbing. The windows were painted black with an inscription. The license plate was the old California black and gold plate. And on that license plate was the numerals 666. The inscription on the windows was 666, proudly displayed. Obviously intent on making a statement of what? What is it that this young man wants us to understand by this? Is it a rebellion against all that is, the creational Heavenly Father, against religion? I don't know. But it certainly brought back to mind a rebelliousness that I lived with in my younger years while still at home, and that my parents and siblings lived with as well. A rebelliousness that got me into some trouble. led me to being caught stealing and taken on a tour through juvenile hall. It led me to being kicked out of Catholic school. I was lacking in love and kindness, filled with much anger and rage, which eventually led to exploring the world of drugs and alcohol. I'll share with you an incident, and it's an incident that's occurred twice. Having been amped out on meth and being awake for several days, it was a time to crash and burn. Until now, I have never shared this experience with anyone. Fatigued and laying in darkness, I began to sink. Or rather, a sinking feeling began to overwhelm me. An immensely powerful force was on me and pushing down on me, creating this sinking feeling. It was as though someone or something was on me doing the pushing. And this was not a pleasant force. From what I can feel, it was truly dark in nature. And it was intent on not me, allowing me to escape it. And so as I sank further, I began to feel some resistance. And it was at this point I noticed where communication was taking place within me. There is no turning back. If you sink further, there is no turning back. At that moment, I felt myself yanked, thrust out of that experience. This incident really didn't register with me for quite some time. And I would say only recently that I sincerely believe that that encounter with darkness, a darkness so evil as to affect change in one's life not meant to escape from. But it's because of this experience, this encounter, that I know. It was on the precipice of heaven and hell. I could have chosen to be in hell for the rest of my life. I didn't. I could have chosen to be in this same directional path that I had been going in leading up to this incident. I didn't. Our entire life can change in a moment. What we don't understand that it may take 10 years to achieve that moment. And after the accumulation, the stacking of many issues to finally say, that's it, I've had it, it's over. And when I finally accepted that no one gets out of here alive, is when I chose to return to the divine light, the creational love of spirit, and to hold on to the finger of God, and to restore my connections with others, because to connect, it's why we are all here. You know what's exciting? Is the uncertainty of what may happen when there's just a single act of anger, one act of kindness, which can rock someone's world. And so this is what I found, is that Jesus isn't lost. He never was. And can be found taking residence in your own home. An occasion makes his presence known in the form of words. Good morning, wife. Good morning, husband. In the form of a smile. And may show up in the form of an answer to your prayers. And even in those moments of catastrophizing, oh, it's no use, why me? And being that we are the summation of all that is, that recreational spirit, therein can be found that God, that love, that kindness we all know to be known as Jesus.